Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and I don't know what it's like where you're looking out your window, but here we have a little bit of a remnants from, oh, I guess you'd say right now it's not even a tropical depression, but they thought it was going to be a little bit of a hurricane coming up from Florida. And so we've got some gray skies, but I tell you, there's a lot of warmth in my heart, so that'll make up for it. I thought we would talk about Atlantis today, and I threw out the question to those of you who might be listening, do you have any memories of Atlantis? Now, I've run into some people who have, and we have swapped some extraordinary stories with one another. And something that I wanted to mention is a lot of the things that happened in Atlantis were challenges to the human race. Humanity was much more elevated, carried a much higher vibration when we started out in Atlantis, and as you probably know on some level, there was a great fall in the ability that we held. There were debates among the leaders as to just how the different options should be approached. Choices were made. Some of them seemed good at the time, to later find out perhaps that they were not in the best interest for humanity. I wanted to talk about that because I do believe that we are now at the end of a cycle. The spiritual hierarchy are telling us that we're at the end of the cycle. Now, what does that mean, actually? Well, it kind of means that a lot of the loose ends that had occurred during the cycle has to be healed, brought up. And in that healing, we are going to face the thoughts of, well, what did we learn? One of the things that I had a memory of, and, you know, these memories are triggered by things usually. You don't sit all of a sudden maybe eating your dinner and say, oh, golly, I remembered that. We did that in Atlantis. No. Something happens that is a trigger, and it brings forth a memory. And I had had a session with an individual where this was in my early days when I was trying to decide or discover who I was and how I fit into the things of the world. Perhaps you can identify with that. And so strange things were happening in my life, and I consulted with someone who knew how to journey with the soul. And one of the things that came up in that conference was the fact that in the beginning of Atlantis, we had some abilities that we have lost. And one of those abilities were that we were connected to a vibrational thread that went all the way back to source. Now, what that meant was vibrationally, we could travel along that thread. And a couple things happened with that. We could feel this immense love of source. We knew where we belonged. This was an exceptionally wonderful thing to be able to contemplate things that you wanted to do, and you could compare them to this vibration that you felt and explored and from source, and you could make decisions as to whether that would be the right way to go or not. In the fall of Atlantis, our understanding, our abilities, our consciousness dropped to such a low level that that connection was broken. And I can remember listening to the tape where I brought that forth out of this memory bank, what it was like. what it felt like to break that connection to Source, I have to tell you, it was, the pain was very deep. I listened to that tape for probably about 3 days. I couldn't stop listening to it because there was a part of me that was responding to it. It was a part of me that remembered, and there was a part of me that felt this terrible, deep pain of having that connection cut to Source. We felt abandoned. We felt alone. I think it is responsible for, or not maybe responsible, but perhaps as an answer as to sometimes we feel alone. We feel alone because there's a part of us that knows that at one time we were connected to this incredibly brilliant, best way to express it perhaps is ball of love and light. And we somehow remembered that, and then all of a sudden that memory was cut. It was gone. And so from that, there was this deep feeling of abandonment. True, we have taken a trip around, so to speak, and we're now on the upward level. And so perhaps we don't feel the depths of the abandonment that we felt then. But what I want to bring forth is, at that time, the pain was so deep that humanity had to decide what they were going to do about it. Now, one of the ways that we had to kind of take a step back from that pain was to make a division in our energy body. And what humanity ultimately decided to do is that they were going to disconnect the, now we're talking here about the subtle bodies that surrounds the physical. We were going to divide what is the emotional and mental body from the spiritual body that is located in the subtle bodies around our physical. There was a disconnect. Now, when we see pictures of Kirlian photography, and we actually see that, we don't, because the colors are moving and the colors are blending into one another, and it's kind of a dance of these different energy fields, and it's not real wide to look at, but they're dancing, seems to be implementing into one another. You can't exactly see that. But the connection was at the crown chakra where this severance occurred. And it was at that time that the brain was divided into the right and left hemispheres because the spiritual information could come in and we had it right there in front of us where we then could act upon it. And with that disconnect, the spiritual information came in, it arced over the corpus callosum, and then went to the side of the brain where our reasoning side could then countermand the spiritual information. It's why sometimes, and this is why sometimes you might be very psychic about some things and sometimes that you're not, is because the psychic information now has to arc over the corpus callosum instead of coming directly into the reasoning side of the mind. Now, my friends, this is one of the challenges that is going to have to be corrected because that is now in our DNA. This connect or disconnect is now in our DNA and it has to be changed. There's another aspect of that that happened and has to be corrected is that the second and third chakras are to be connected to the heart chakra, which makes a triangle of energy from the heart chakra up to the crown. This sounds like a tall order, but it's not really, because those on the other side can help us to connect this again, can help us change the DNA. This is one of the reasons why Master Kasumi has now asked for conference calls because he is working on this. The fascinating thing about this information that I'm telling you is once I became involved with this, I realized that, and I talked about this a little bit on one of my other radio shows, Master Kasumi, in some of his previous lifetimes, was Balthazar, who the tradition has come down to us was one of the three kings. He was the one that is shown with very dark skin. He was not an African. He was Persian and connected to the Hebrews at the time because the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, did go through Persia at one time. And so there was a connection there. So Master Kasumi was Balthazar, very much involved in the human race. He visited the Christ child on that very first Christmas, which we consider the first Christmas, but he wasn't just there to bring gifts. He was also bringing scrolls because he was part of a secret society that helped to support Christ's mission. He was also St. Francis of Assisi. He was also Pythagoras, and this is where the connection comes in that is so fascinating, because Pythagoras, we know of him as a gentleman of numbers, ones who studied the numbers, but what is not so well known about him is that he was working with the electron, and he brought forth information that we really didn't comprehend too well until just this century, and that is when a particle is either an electron is or information is either a wave or a particle. And this has to do with ascension, because this becomes part of how we are going to ascend. It's a fascinating story, because what the scientists are finding out is that all of us human beings are standing waves of energy. I became familiar with that concept of standing wave when I saw it illustrated as standing waves being inside the pyramid at Cheops, and I thought, wow, that's cool. That must have had something to do with the initiates when they were moving into the other dimensions. Yes, they were using the standing waves. We're going to get to understand that too. We're going to be doing it through conference calls with Master Kasumi and Archangel Michael, as he is going to be teaching how to work with the electrons. So, my friends, this all goes back to Atlantis. These are going to be some exciting times, because not only is that going to be corrected, but some other things too. So, my friends, I ask you, if you are out there and you have some memories of Atlantis, give us a call, 877-876-5227. If you're from Canada, 888-810-8322. What I would like to do for today is talk about memories from Atlantis. We're going to do some other shows where we're going to be talking about standing waves and how we're going to be connected to it, how it connects the cosmos. So we've got some exciting stuff that we're starting with here today. I know that there has to be somebody out there who has some memories of Atlantis, because I had been involved with a group. We were we had met in the Bahamas, and we had some fascinating conversations about that very question. What do you remember about Atlantis? Aha, do we have somebody who has a memory of Atlantis?
I sure do. Hello, Carolyn.
I love it. I knew somebody would be out there. And who is this, dear heart?
This is Brian from Indiana.
Brian, I recognized your voice. I just knew it was you. And
thank
now,
you.
Why did that not surprise me when you said you had some memories of Atlantis? So I think if anybody was going to call with some of those memories, it had to be Brian.
Yes. Well, the funny thing is, I know we've discussed Lemuria,
yes.
But I did, when you just talked about the Cheops, the pyramid, that mm-hmm. rang a bell to me.
Ah.
And I had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And in this dream, underwater, I'm not sure if this pyramid's here on Earth or not. I'm sure it is. Most of my dreams take place, I'm sure, on Earth. But in this one, the pyramid's it's not really deep underwater. Like the tip of it, it's maybe 400 or 500 feet under the water, submerged in the water, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's golden. It's a golden pyramid. And I seen this, I was under the water, and I could see the sides of it, and the
mm-hmm.
dimensions. It was a big pyramid, but it's just under the water, not too deep. I'm not sure where it's located. I had a flash, and then I was on the side of the pyramid when it wasn't underwater, and I had this, like this bean or someone had this necklace, and around it, it had like maybe like an activation key.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of glowed, and it looked like a shape of a pyramid, like a crystal,
mm-hmm.
that was hanging around this person's neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very, very strange.
Was this, let's go back to that, because I think this is fascinating. Was this a pyramid, or was it a temple?
Maybe it is a temple. I'm wondering if, I feel that a lot of these pyramids are temples,
mm-hmm.
and in the beginning they were used for temples,
mm-hmm.
and then later throughout lifetimes I believe that they became the burial chambers for, you know, the kings and queens,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe the past 2,000-4,000 years, but back long before that I believe they were meant for temples.
Well, my feeling is, and some of the things that I remember, Brian, and
yes.
I'm not getting away from your memory because I think it ties into this. When Atlantis fell, people didn't understand this right away. I mean, there was a period of time where a lot of people thought, if things continue to go this way, there's going to be real problems here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started leaving Atlantis. Not all at once, but there was an exodus. Now,
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly who went where. There were groups that went to different places. I do believe Isis, and you might say her group of advisors or those who were very close to her, left Atlantis and went to Egypt. And I think that when she went to Egypt with, say, the group of people that she went with, is when my feeling is that is when the construction on these different temples occurred.
Yes.
Before that, they had their the natives who were living in Egypt at that time. They had their ideas of worship, but it wasn't the same as the group that came from Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how it appears to me. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. But if other people recall this, I'd love for them to call in and we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The different temples had a different purpose, and it was all part of an initiation. In other words, people moved through the temples. They chose a path, and the teachers who were there at each location taught a part of the journey, so to speak. They were preparing for the final initiation, which would be in the pyramid at Cheops. Now, as I understand it, you see, one of the big things that they were teaching is to exist, to love, to live, excuse me, not love, to exist, to live without fear. And some of the obstacles that were put into place that an initiate had to overcome revolved around that issue of fear. And this wasn't taken lightly, because if you pass the test, you live to then go to the next temple and work on that issue. But if you failed, you could have, it was very possible to die. Now,
yes.
The teachers didn't think this was too strange, because they believed in reincarnation, and they knew you'd be back. It's that old thing, at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yes. I had a question about that.
Yeah.
Could you ask the cherubim, if at all possible? My question to them is, at one time, were those pyramids actually interdimensional portals?
I think that that's a good question. After that, can we come back to, I think, might be an answer about this pyramid in the water that you're talking about?
Yes.
You know, the Egyptians, I've been to Egypt, and I toured with some guides who were metaphysical, which is kind of unusual to find metaphysical guides and in Egypt, and they showed us some pyramids that were not perfectly formed, and they were telling us that this was an attempt. They were learning how to materialize this.
Huh.
And it is believed, don't know if this is accurate, but it is believed that the pyramids were constructed from the top down. Now, is that true? I don't know. This was the group that guided us at the time, but it is kind of interesting. So what I'll do, Brian, is I'll see what we can do with what the cherubim say about whether these the pyramids or the temples in particular. You're asking about the pyramids, or are you interested in both?
It can be both.
Okay.
Why I had that? Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, my mind tells me I kind of have an idea as to what they're going to say, but let's see. Give me a minute, Brian. Let me connect here. They're telling us that the pyramid had, and the temples had, more than one reason for their existence. And certainly being a portal to another dimension was one of the reasons for their existence. It was what was behind that was the concept and the thought, and this is where it came from, that the pharaoh could actually leave this planet and move through the stars, that was a tradition that had passed down through the centuries, and they were using that interdimensional portal that you speak of. The temples, along with the pyramids, was also constructed in such a way that sound could be carried over great distances, that there was an acoustical value to them, so that and Akhenaten in particular used this to great benefit, that the temples were built so that it was constructed in such a manner that sound could move from one part of the empire to another, and that had to do with the method in which the sound waves moved. It had to do with the method that the command that was that was given through the mind, and also through the heart chakra, but more importantly, using crystals and gold. They understood the structure of gold and how gold could be used for spiritual reasons. So, yes, they were interdimensional doorways. They were places of initiation. They were, you could transport sound. You could even transport the physical body.
Wow.
And this was something that had a high point, and it was destroyed again because of the group who wished to control. Anytime there is a group of human beings who wish to take power and control other human beings, the spiritual information will be buried. And this is what happened in that particular period of time. All of the gifts and the high points that was allowed to be used by the early pharaohs and those early beings that came from Atlantis was hidden at spirit's directives. They will never, never allow the power of spirit to be overtaken by those forces that are against the Godhead.
That's good.
Well, we've seen that throughout history, Brian. This has been an ongoing thing, and I suspect that you have been there during those periods of time when that spiritual information has been coming, has been allowed to come back into human use again.
Yes.
And you probably are very much aware that the information sleeps and it's brought forth. I think you probably have been there at many of these times when it was brought forth.
Yeah, it feels like that all the time.
Yeah, you had your hand up.
The only last thing I wanted to ask you real quick was, I was just falling asleep last night, and I was in a meditation, and right before I went to sleep, I saw a face I've never seen before appear to me, and this face was female, and she had a crown on her head, and it had blue, like sapphire gems inside the crown. Who is this person or being?
I don't know, dear, but let's see what we can find out for you. I suspect that you know who this being is.
I'm not sure, but
you just don't remember. Let's see what we can find out. What I'm hearing, Brian, I really think you know this, dear. This is your Syrian connection.
What? You're kidding me.
Would I kid you?
I say, finally, I got to see a face. I've been wanting this for a long time. But why does it look female? Is it a female?
Wait a minute. Let me see. No, they're androgynous.
Okay. So they can look both. Yeah.
You would be alarmed if you saw both aspects of the male and the female. Mm-hmm. This is an androgynous spirit, shows themselves as the female, as this is what you are integrating now presently.
Yes.
You're integrating the feminine aspects into the male aspects that has dominated many of your past lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you had a message for me. That was funny.
Now, do you really think we're going to make it that easy for you, Brian. You're going to have to do a little work here.
I know. I have to continue this. But I was wondering what the gold and the crown and the what it represented.
The gold and the crown?
Yes, the crown and the blue sapphire or the blue stone or something around them.
Gold has spiritual properties. It is why many of the ancients, in particular the Aztecs, valued gold.
Yes.
Because of its ability to transport thought and sound not only over long distances, but interdimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
But, my dear friend, I'm sure you know all this.
Somewhat. It's always interesting.
I think what you need to do is the next time. Do you have a dream journal?
I'm starting one.
Good.
I've been working on one.
Yeah,
but,
you out of all people really need a dream journal because...
I have a tape recorder.
Oh, well, see, that's
and
wonderful,
that's what I've been,
too.
I did my first dream here a couple of days ago, and I'm recording these on the little tape recorder.
Wonderful.
And it really helps. Yes.
And you probably know this too, Brian. You're in the midst of your awakening.
I know. It's so beautiful, Karen.
Yes, it is. You're in the midst of your awakening right now, and I suspect that these sorts of things, you see, these memories and these connections are overseen by the higher mind. That is the gateway to your monad, and
yeah.
It is at the, I don't want to say discretion, maybe that's the word, judgment. It is at the judgment of the monad to decide when you are ready, and you're on the cusp of being ready. And when that happens, what the key is symbolic of a key that opens the door. What I'm seeing, you don't have very far to get that key in the doorway and open it up, and it's like this flood. It's like a tide will come through of your knowledge from the past.
Wow.
It's there waiting for you. But you see, what I'm telling you, you really already know.
Yes.
You are right at that point. Do you meditate the same time every day?
I go into it a little right before I fall asleep or right when I wake up early in the morning. I find that's the best time because my thoughts are not scattered. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't have all these thoughts. I'm very calm.
And you're recording that.
Yes.
I think the other thing that you need to do when you're recording this, take some notes of the things that's happening to you during the day because there's great synchronicity between what your soul is bringing into your life and what you're dreaming about. So put some notes there as to what's happening in your daily life. In other words, the things that you saw that you thought had a spiritual note to it.
Yes.
And your dreams are going to, the two are going to start confirmation to one another.
Oh, that's great. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. There was a temple that the initiate had to swim underwater through obstacles.
Yes.
And they only were put to the test when their teachers felt that they were ready. If they panicked, they would not be able to get out in time because there was no underwater gear at that time to use for breathing.
That's probably why I saw that underwater temple or that pyramid. That's amazing.
Well, you know, it could mean what we're really talking about here is control of the emotions, control of the mental processes.
Yeah.
This this was one of the tests that they the initiate had to go through. Some of the other tests were actually going through this same kind of swimming event, you know, with crocodiles in the water.
Yes, I've had some of those too.
It's scary, we've done it all, you know.
Yes.
They said, who wants to do this? And we put our hand up. And Caroline and I decided that the next go-round, we're going to ask for a disclaimer notice first. Now, if I choose this, what's the possibilities here?
Yes. Well, I'll let you go here, but I wanted to say thank you so much, Caroline.
My pleasure, Brian.
And God bless.
Talk to you again. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, this is the day to be talking about Atlantis. Got a little bit into Egypt here, but that's okay because there were groups of the Atlanteans that did go to Egypt. Some of them tried to fight their way through Athens, well, Greece, as you're probably aware from some historical records. And some of them migrated over into what we would know of as Great Britain at the time. There's also Edgar Cayce tells us in his writings there was a group in the Pyrenees Mountains, spoke a particular dialect. Anyway, my friends, give us a call if you have some memories of Atlantis. 877-876-5227. If you are from Canada, that is 888-810-8322. And my friends, don't wait to the last minute to try to share your stories with us. So many times people listen and they get the urge to dial the number and we're going off the air. So we probably have about 20 minutes here. Give us a buzz. There was a program, you might say, whether these advanced beings were in Atlantis, whether they moved down to some of the other parts of the world. We're talking about the very early times in Egypt, for instance, at its high spiritual point. There were teachers. We have perhaps someone else who has a memory. And who am I talking to now?
Hi, this is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. We're exploring Atlantis and memory. Do you have some that you can contribute?
Yes, I've had dreams of Atlantis and being in a big arena or forum type thing where everybody's sitting around and... that was a while ago that I had that one, and it's not as clear as it was when I first had it. I wish I'd have wrote down more of it.
Thank you for bringing that up, Jeannie, because I think that's a very important thing that you just said. We have a dream. Something happens, and it's so clear to us. And as time goes by, we kind of forget the details, and it's really important to write these things down because once you write them down, and you start reviewing them, it's interesting how other facts come forth.
It is. We should all have a dream notebook right by our bed. Because, if you write it down right after you have it, otherwise, sometimes if you have it in the middle of the night and you wait till morning, then you can't remember all of it.
So true. I like Brian's idea, too, to have a little handheld tape recorder. I did that... early before I started doing it directly into the computer, I was receiving a lot of information, and I had the little handheld computer right under my pillow. And I found that if when I woke up, like you're saying, in the middle of the night, just stick my hand under the pillow, pull out the little handheld thing, and you could talk right into it and not really have to wake yourself up too much.
Yeah, that's better. That really is.
So tell me, when you saw all these beings in what appeared to be an arena, what made you think this was Atlantis? Was it the way they were dressed, or...?
It just came into my mind that this was Atlantis, and I was a part of all that. And I just remember waking up and thinking, wow, that was really neat, because I had always had an infatuation with Atlantis and read books on Lemuria and Atlantis, and since I've been working with you and Archangel Mikael, I'm remembering some of the things from the past and thinking, oh, I wish I'd have wrote that down or, you know, recorded it so that now I could reflect on that, because it's a little bit harder to remember something that you had 5 or 10 years ago.
You know what you might do as a thought? Get your little recorder, and then so after you get your recorder, when you go to bed one night, ask if you can have more information about that arena. Did you have the sense that people were gathering for a discussion of some sort?
Yes, it was more of a gathering. It was not one of those type where a gladiator or anything like that. It was something more of gathering and talking and something more communicating with each other type thing.
The reason that I asked is when I started the show, we were talking about these choices and things that came up, and there were I want to say gatherings. Perhaps you could call them a debate where people there was an issue, so to speak, put before the people, and they came forth and gave their opinion as to how they thought it should be resolved. And I know that there was a lot of that was going on as these changes were coming about, as there was a division between the two groups of people on Atlantis. There was this calling together, and they took a vote as to how it should be handled. Did you have a sense that perhaps it was something like that?
It could have been, but I think I'm going to do like you said and ask for more clarity on from when I had it before, because since I listened to you the other day and heard some forum talking in that, I would like to know more about that particular dream. So.
Well, you know, this is known as a redo.
Yeah.
And I think because we are at the end of this cycle, our souls are encouraging us to go through these redos, so to speak, because in a sense, we need to know where we've been, what has happened. It's good to be awakened so we have a better understanding of this journey, so that we take more of conscious memory with us as we go through this next step.
Yes.
Anyway, after you get your little recorder, call me back and let me know how things are working
out for you. I will do that.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. My friends, we now probably have 10 minutes. Give us a call, 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. What do you remember about Atlantis? Do you remember the healing temples? Do you remember the colors? Do you remember the crystal, sort of like a bed that one would lie on for healing? Do you remember the incredibly beautiful sounds and lights during the healing? Do you remember the water that was used? Do you remember walls that almost seemed as if they held the melody in them themselves? Do you remember the lit temples that had lights in it that didn't have fixtures? We got somebody else perhaps that remembers. Who's this?
Hey, Carolyn, it's Caroline from Toronto.
Oh, we got a Canadian here. I love it. So you're actually using that Canadian number. So tell us, what do you remember?
You know, it's interesting. I had this dream occurring ever since I was a little girl. And there were these crafts, and they almost remind you of, you know, like the Lindenberg craft?
Oh, yes.
You know, they kind of floated? And they sort of belonged to the Atlantean government at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't of the light.
They were not of the light?
Not of the light.
Mm-hmm.
And what these crafts would do, and the general people were kind of afraid of them, they would float. And they would, you know, when you lived in the sort of larger glass buildings?
Mm-hmm.
These would sort of float, but I don't know what they ran on, so I'm guessing it would be crystalline energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, and the general people were kind of afraid because, in the sense that it could detect what you were thinking.
Wow.
And it also gravitated towards the fear.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting because the populace were quite afraid of these crafts. Because
well, tell me, what did these crafts look like? Can you remember?
Like, yeah, absolutely I remember. Because it would reoccur all the time. You
mm-hmm.
know this dream over and over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, I started to delve into it, and I felt it was Atlantean,
mm-hmm.
Atlantean technology.
Right.
It kind of looked like, but much smaller, like the Lindenberg craft. You know, like the Zeppelin craft?
Oh, yes.
From mm-hmm. From World War II?
Right.
That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the most bizarre feeling. People were just simply afraid of it. Just afraid because it was governmental.
Mm-hmm.
It almost had a sort of... it's difficult to explain the kind of energy you felt when you seen it.
Well, was it... Did it look like metal?
Yeah, it was kind of metallic.
Mm-hmm.
Metallic, yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question that might seem strange. Do you think this craft was an inanimate object, or is there the possibility that there could have been a human form who was taking that shape?
I don't know. It's just really bizarre, you know, and how it would come constantly. And I have a feeling that this was towards the end of the Atlantean
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, I know a lot of people have been talking about the pyramids, the initiations,
right.
and so on and so forth. But we got to remember the Atlantean times is, you know, spans.
Oh, yeah, long distance.
Exactly. And I always have a feeling this is towards the end where a lot
mm-hmm.
of people were sort of feeding into that fear vibration,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because it sort of parallels into the current times. Where some people feed into the fear vibration and others feed into the love vibration.
You see, the reason that I bring this topic up is because I think we are at a point today that is very similar to that point in Atlantis. We're wearing different clothes. Our tools might be a little bit different, but we're facing the same issues. That issue of whether we're going to be in fear or whether we're going to be in love and use our consciousness, for our own betterment. But the reason that I asked you about this craft is because this group that I was talking to that had these memories, one of the people remembered how the physical body could be turned into a craft and warred on people.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she lost me when she got to the point of the technology of it because I couldn't follow that, but she was giving me a lot of what she was considering scientific information as to how the mind could change the physical into what appeared to be a spaceship, and there was a controller sort of like in a communication tower, and they actually use themselves as a weapon, so to speak.
Interesting, because the thing is, Carolyn, about this craft, what I did get from the reoccurring dreams was if you had that vibration of fear,
mm-hmm.
the craft would almost sort of gravitate towards you.
Mm-hmm.
But what you had to do was tune into the vibration of love.
Yes.
And the craft would almost, like, not even sense you.
Because you became invisible to them at that point.
Indeed. That's exactly it, Carolyn. And it almost sort of parallels what many of us light workers are doing right now.
I would agree 100% with that, yeah. We become invisible to those forces when we are on the waves of love.
Yes, and I remember that time when many of us would help the others who were fearful,
mm-hmm.
Try and encourage them to tune into the vibration of love, where they would no longer have to fear that sort of, that craft, that feeling that the government was the governmental. I guess the best word I could think of is like governmental authorities of that time, because they were trying to feed fear into the populace.
Well, the group who were following fear did have a lot of power.
Yes, indeed. I had that feeling from the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to share that, Carol.
Oh, I'm so glad that you did.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
Lots of love.
Lots of love, dear.
Bye.
Bye. And so, my friends, we probably have about 5 minutes, enough time for another story, if you can think of something that had to do with Atlantis, a memory. The number here is 877-876-5227. And what we're talking about is the same issue today as back in Atlantis. Are we going to be fear-driven, or are we going to be open to love and the higher vibrations? And I'm really glad that we had that last story related to us, because as I said earlier in the show, what we are being faced with, I do believe that what we are facing today are all of those elements and challenges that we faced back in Atlantis. We're speaking a different language. The clothes that we are wearing is different. Our homes are different. Our transportation is different. But in the spiritual sense, this is all about vibration. We have the same choices. And actually, it was good that we brought up the Egyptian aspect of it with the Egyptian temples, because, my dear friends, the same challenge was there that was in Atlantis and that was here, is if you were fear-driven and you panicked, you could die. Now, that was a physical death, and it could be a spiritual death, and it could, so it is this issue between choosing fear or choosing love. And we have my other two shows. We have Charlene McNeil and Caroline Allen, who work as healers, changing with God, changing the DNA from these past moments when we went the way of fear. We have to clear this from the physical, from the fears that we have faced in our past lifetimes. And this is the time of the great cleansing. Just a last reminder, send me an email, carolyn@carolynevers.com, if you wish to work with Master Kasumi. He's going to have one conference call this month. He's going to be working on the light body. I haven't put out the information yet, but Archangel Michael has just given me the first lesson. He is going to be teaching the use and the control of the electron. He is telling us that in the higher dimensions, the electron, in the higher dimension, this is the form of manifestation. We will be able to manifest things much quicker than what we do here, and that means that the electrons are working a little bit differently in the higher dimensions, and this is what Archangel Michael is going to be teaching, how to use the mind, the thought process, to control the electrons that we are going to be meeting in the next dimension. Golly, such exciting stuff going on, isn't it? Not going to be able to sit back and watch TV tonight. We need to really be out there thinking about some of these things. Have about 2-3 minutes. Somebody else out there remember something about Atlantis? Have a dream of Atlantis? The phone number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. For those of you who know some of my story, you might know that my son is my twin soul. He passed into the next dimension when he was 16. He works with me. He has been my twin flame through my different lifetimes. And we come at periods of time like this when the light has a great opportunity to advance. And so he works there, and I work here. And I have seen him and myself in the different lifetimes. And I bring this up because when I was in the Bahamas, I saw us in a lifetime there in Atlantis. Oh, golly, it was so extraordinarily beautiful. The body, the physical, well, of course we wore clothes, but the light that was inside was so brilliant and so beautiful that it shone through the garments. As I said, you wore clothes, but what you saw was this light shining forth from inside of your clothing, and you had this glow around your body. It was just so beautiful. Love, those who believed in love, oh, it was such a force. And all I can say, my dear friends, let us bring that part back again. And so until the next beautiful installment of our journey out of Atlantis and where we find ourselves now, this is Carolyn Evers. Dear ones, if you think about it, go to my website, carolynevers.com. Look at Journey to the Other Side. The masters are dictating an adventure each month, talking about some aspect of the ascension process. See you next week. Tune in Wednesday to Charlene and myself. Bless you all.